Well, today we're talking with Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Executive Vice President Michael Kelsey. A lot of issues that you're watching. First and foremost, cattlemen have seen amazing prices, record highs. What is kind of the state of the industry? It could be a double-edged sword with prices at these levels.
Yeah, as we've been traveling across Oklahoma and talking to cattlemen members, and then we're geared up for our fall gatherings here in mid-November, and look forward to doing those and talking some more. Cattle prices you've mentioned are just phenomenal. Bull prices and the fall bull sales have just been unbelievable. Replacement heifer sales are fantastic. We hear a lot of comments about producers saying, "Man, I wish I had more to sell at these price levels." I think there's still a lot of optimism in the cattle industry right now. If you listen to Dr. Peel out of OSU, and he'll talk about how in the a realistic picture of the next several years is that cattle prices should hold pretty strong. They're going to fluctuate seasonally as well as, some things, a little hiccups here and there, and we all know that. But overall, they should hold, barring any major tragedy, they should hold well. I think people are optimistic about that. Are we seeing, well, I don't think we're seeing a huge herd rebuild right now in Oklahoma. I think people are being realistic. Hay's in good supply right now, but runoff in terms of pond water is very much lacking. And so I think cattlemen are just being realistic. Lots of optimism, but at the same time, kind of a realistic, optimistic viewpoint. But overall, very good. As we talk to producers, they're excited about being in the beef industry. We're seeing some young people that, surprisingly, because of the lack of cap, or excuse me, the amount of capital it takes to get into the business, they're getting in and they're finding ways to do that. And that's really encouraging. And so I think they see an opportunity for a future there, and they're making their way in. Those are good things. And so overall, very optimistic.
The Environmental Protection Agency has extended the comment period on the U.S. Waters of the United States proposal. Obviously, that gives cattle producers more time to comment. This is a good move, more time for us to give input.
Absolutely. November 14th is the deadline day. And you're absolutely right, Leslie. This is priority number one for us. Lots of issues we're working on, but right now, this is priority number one. This is the largest, potentially the largest land grab in the history of our country. EPA has indicated that what they're wanting to understand with the proposal of this rule is what land they have jurisdiction over. That's very important for cattle and producers, and actually the general public to understand. In other words, what we're hearing from the inside of the Crystal Palace, if you will, is not that the reason for this rule is clean water. The reason for this rule is to understand what land the EPA, the federal government, has jurisdiction over. So in essence, this is not a clean water rule. This is a land jurisdiction rule. That's why it's so important for producers to make comment. We need to build a case that we are the original stewards of the land. We can do a better job with clean water on the local level than on kind of these mandate, one-size-fits-all type procedures that have a tendency to come out of Washington. Vitally important producers submit their comments by the deadline date.
Part of the extension was spurred by EPA waiting to release a report that they have done. How much is that, do you think, maybe going to shape this rule?
That's a really good question, and the it was kind of an internal report of a panel of scientists that was issued. They, of course, kind of sanctioned the rule or gave their thumbs up for the rule, and they wanted to give EPA, and we appreciate the fact that EPA did this, gave us an opportunity to look at that report by extending the comment period onto November 14th. I don't think that's going to really shape the decision on this rule much. It certainly won't shape ours because that report doesn't answer some of the fundamental questions, such as the definitive definition. Pardon my double tone there, but what is the definition of a ditch? What is the definition of a gully, of a depression? Those types of things. And the reason that's so important is because even in Oklahoma, the difference between a ditch in eastern Oklahoma and in western Oklahoma can be significant. And never mind the fact from Georgia to Washington or Maine to California, etc. So that report just still doesn't answer some of the fundamental concerns and questions that we have with this proposed rule.
For Oklahoma, they did release some maps as to how it would impact the state. I guess, what was your analysis of how much this could impact Oklahoma landowners?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. And if you saw those maps, and I'd encourage producers to get on, if you haven't seen one of those maps, Google it and look it up, and the differences. It's color coded, which makes it easy for me to kind of picture out what we're talking about here. And you'll just see an explosion of color on Oklahoma, which is not a good thing. That means that land would have jurisdiction, or in EPA's opinion, would have a significant nexus, and that's some of the specific terms, a significant nexus to water bodies, a significant contribution to a water body, or a navigable water, a river, etc. Those maps are very, very detailing and very eye-opening because, again, it's an explosion of color, which is a bad thing in this sense. And so it just reemphasizes that this is a jurisdictional rule, not a clean water rule. Again, I'll say it again, vitally important that producers submit their comments.
Also, another topic that came out, the World Trade Organization issued another ruling over country of origin labeling. And this, again, is basically rejecting what the U.S. has put together so far. I guess, what's your view as to how we go forward?
Good point. A good question, too. WTO, their latest ruling is that the USDA's latest modifications to country of origin labeling are actually worse than the original in terms of compliance with international rule. What that means is that Canada and Mexico have standing in the international court, if you will, WTO, to complain, to say this isn't fair in terms of fair trade. And so what that means is that if we don't change our country of origin labeling rules and law in order to be on a fair playing field, Canada and Mexico have grounds to retaliate in terms of trade. Canada has made it very clear that they intend to retaliate on beef if this issue is not resolved. Mexico, for all practical purposes, is going to follow suit. What does that mean? That means that our number two and our number four trading partner in 2013 have grounds to retaliate against us in terms of beef trade. That is not a good thing. There is no way that can be a good thing. Even with a market that we have, which is so good right now in terms of prices, not necessarily profitability, but certainly in terms of prices, that is not a good thing. So we want to avoid the opportunity for those two countries to retaliate. How we fix that? I think in all reality, we're probably going to have to look at some congressional action to fix it. I just don't know that we can fix it with rule. There's a lot of different ideas on how to do that. For Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, our most important facet, what our members have said is we need to be in compliance with international trade law. We need to have the opportunity to trade fairly, export our product to our big trading partners, even our small ones, but certainly our big ones. So our position is we want to encourage compliance with the with international WTO standards so that we can continue that trade.
With moving forward in that direction, do you have anybody on either the Senate side or on the U.S. House side that is from Oklahoma or, I guess, say any of our kind of beef-producing states that's going to kind of lead this charge?
You know, that's a good question, and it's really a question that's hard to answer right now because this issue is not important in an election cycle. You go into Washington and even our own federal delegation who understand this issue and for the most part really are more free and fair market oriented rather than government mandates. And so they would favor doing something to fix country of origin labeling on the statutory side. But in all honesty, it's just not that big of an issue in terms of the on the Hill in an election cycle. I think that gives us an opportunity to do some work behind the scenes to try to lay some groundwork so that when the door of opportunity does open, and it needs to open quickly, that we'll have an opportunity to walk through that. And the reason I say it needs to open quickly is again, we're on a timeline that Canada and Mexico have the opportunity to follow if we don't fix it. Part of that challenge is going to be to elevate this issue, and we need to probably, in a realistic fashion, do that after the election.
Also recently announced, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announcing that the creation of essentially a second beef checkoff kind of through the 1996 Farm Bill. And I guess kind of what's your reaction? The industry had kind of pushed on trying to maybe increase funding of the existing checkoff and just trying to increase the amount. What do you think of kind of increasing funding to $2, I guess would be the sense, but by doing it with two separate checkoffs?
Yeah, fundamentally, we do need to increase our checkoff. Just if you consider inflation and if you consider the need for beef promotion and beef strategies, demand building strategies on a national, international, and to some degree even state level, but certainly most importantly on those bigger markets, we do need to do that. How we do that is the devil's in the details. We're an independent lot, cattlemen are, and so much so that in 1985 we created the Beef Act, which is specific to the beef checkoff. It's done a great job over its lifetime. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Nothing is. But it's done a really good job, so much so that here recently the checkoff research indicates for every dollar invested, over $11 is returned into the beef industry as a whole. That is great to return on investment. So we kind of think that the 85 Act is a pretty good thing to try to modify in that sense. If we're going to do something on the federal level, let's build on the success we had. The 96 Act was actually created for those commodities that don't have a checkoff, that are structured a little differently, and in fact, I would argue a lot differently than the beef industry, maybe don't have as many segments such as cow-calf stockers, some of those types of things. And so it's a little more difficult to try to understand how the 96 Act could comply, excuse me, not comply, could play into and complement the 85 Act. Probably the biggest kind of hesitancy we have with the 96 Act is how much control the Secretary's office has over the checkoff. It's pretty important to us cattlemen that we have control over those programs, that we start at the state level and then we move to the federal level. That's the fundamental governance of our checkoff. 50 cents stays right here in Oklahoma to be used. 50 cents goes to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. It's very unclear how that would work in the 96 Act. It's very unclear how much authority, and we believe that the Secretary's office is vested with a tremendous amount of authority over how those decisions would be made on what to, where to spend those dollars and so forth. You know, right now we've got a pretty fundamental lack of trust in the federal government. I think that's at times can be healthy, and in this sense it's manifesting itself in the fact that we just don't like that 96 Act. We'd prefer to do it on the 85 level.
With kind of this progressing, what do you think the rollout's going to be since the announcement?
That's a good question. I think a lot hinges on the election, what would happen in the election, perhaps most importantly on the Senate side. If the Senate should go Republican, we may see a different proposal than what we would see if it stays Democrat. I'm supposing, as well as anybody, you know, every pundit has their own opinion on this. I believe the Secretary is going to issue a proposed rule under the 96 Act. He's indicated that he's going to do so in January, so I'm assuming that he's probably going to do that. What that will look like, though, we don't know for sure. And so I think we do have to keep an open mind in that sense. Perhaps he issues a rule that is fairly close to the 85 Act, the program that we have now. I don't know that that has happened. My confidence will happen. My confidence isn't really high on that. But I think, you know, open-minded, we have to be realistic to say he could do that. So we'll see what happens. I think there's lots going to happen between now and the first of the year, and we'll know for sure by that time.
Well, today we've been joined by Michael Kelsey, Executive Vice President with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, as he joins us at the Radio Oklahoma Network. I'm Leslie Smith.